tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage.
Walt Dib, Tula Road Rage. Look, I've said this before. I said it before anyone said this a week ago. I really think the issue is that they know they have trans players playing in the league right now. And because otherwise, there's just no way to explain what they're doing and saying. And again, we need to stop the usage of these terms, okay? The correct term is biological male. They know they have biological males playing in their league right now. That's the correct term. Now, you get out in the real world where we 100% support your rights and your freedoms, then you're talking about trans individuals. But in the world of athletics, you're talking about biological males. That's what they are. You can, all other language is an intent to deceive, to distract with red herrings from the point. The point is, you either are a biological woman or you're a biological male. That's the reality of it. Anyway, Garnet and Gold and Robert, coming right to you. Garnet and Gold, how are you, Garnet and Gold? Good to have you.
I'm good. Glad to be back. From Wisconsin.
Yes, from your journey. And your White Sox playing well.
They are, yeah. I working was a little bit frustrating. A little frustrating, but I did get to watch some games. And I never thought, you know, when I told you the last time we talked, I said, you know, if we're up by six games when I come back, I'll be happy. Well, 5.5, I'll take that. But who would have thought it would have been 5.5 over Detroit?
Yeah. Hey, just don't worry. Be happy. I mean, you know, the White Sox playing well. And quite honestly, you know, when the Dodgers made their move, I think the whole world sort of surrendered everything to them. But the reality is they've got to get all those guys healthy and playing well. And that's not the case right now. So we'll see.
This thing may be more
wide open than any of us imagined.
Yeah, for real. But, I mean, the fact that we're in first place, which I told you 75 wins at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, third, 75 wins, third behind Cleveland and behind Minnesota. I was kind of stretching it out, but, you know, I was being optimistic. You know, but right now, we had our 15th first-time major league player, the pitcher from AAA.
That's pretty amazing.
It was awful. It was awful. He walked four batters. That's not good. But, you know, I mean, it's a young kid and all. But still, I think, you know, with the way Vargas is playing, I'm a little concerned about Tolson's strikeout rate. You know, when he makes contact, he does something with it. But, man, he strikes out a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of it is just being patient to play. He's a young guy to do. But, you know, right now, you know, I wouldn't see us making a deep run in the playoffs. If making it to the playoffs, I consider that a huge win this season. Huge, huge win after 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
Without question, it would be incredible. But like I said, this is a playoff that you want to be in because while the Dodgers on paper look invincible, until they put all that together and they're healthy, then I don't know how you know that. You know, they've not played well. They've played poorly. So, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got a little stretch coming up again. We got three against the Cubs. We got our makeup game against Atlanta. Then we got three against Texas. And if we can come out of those seven games 4-3, 5-2, I'll feel I'll feel really good about it going forward, especially being mid-August and all.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's
go White Sox.
That's right. Oh, we got your Mets thing, too. I think it's next week we got your Mets.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on winning that series.
Well, I thought the same thing with Cincinnati, but that didn't work out for us. So, you know, maybe. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I just wanted to jump in real quick. I'm heading to Atlanta for work for the next 3 days, but I just wanted to get in today and just say go White Sox.
Thank you, Garden Gold. Good job. Congrats to your White Sox. It's amazing. Thank you. Really is. Ghosts of Wilbur Wood and Dick Gallen and Louis Aparicio and all the others. Frank Thomas, Big Hurt. Pretty incredible. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert? Good to have you.
Walt, I'm great. I hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
Yeah, I wouldn't... I'm going to tell you, like you told Garnet and Gold, if his White Sox make it to the playoffs, they might could go somewhere. I mean, you never know with playoff baseball. Team gets hot. We've seen it before.
Well, again, who's the great team?
Yeah.
You know, right,
I don't keep up with it, but I hear you talking about
it. Right, there isn't one. I mean, the Dodgers should be that team, but they're not right now. So who's the great team? So I think this is a playoff that you really want to be in because who knows?
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. All right, well, let's talk a little college football. I had a little 18-8 play parlay lined up Friday that I wanted to talk to you about.
The 8-play parlay.
I didn't get a chance to, but I went ahead and played it. I had a 75% profit boost. So I was like, man, I'm going to go ahead and play this little lottery ticket. So I'm going to name a few here. Maybe if we have time, I can get through it. First off, Darian Mensa, higher than 3,249 passing yards. He threw for 3,973 last year at Duke.
Yes. And
regular season, by the way.
Right.
I think you probably
know that. That's likely, but... You know, you can't miss many games. You can't miss many games in that situation. You are talking about crystal ball, and they do want to run the ball. You know, so you know that's the thing. I mean, Mensa threw for 3,900 yards at Duke in part because he had to.
Right.
You know, he's trailing some of those games. You know, they're trying to come back. He's involved in high scoring shootouts. You know, that type of thing. He's not. There's probably going to be a lot less of that this year. And quite frankly, there may be some games he comes out of early, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, this is the of the quarterback.
I don't want to be shooting down the first one on your 18.
Well, No. This is the one, Walt, that I had the most concerns about. Okay. I think Miami's going to open up their offense big time, and I think they might have to because they may not have the defense that they had last year. So that's why I went ahead and took it. I went back and forth on this because that's a big number.
Well, they sure have receiving weapons, that's for sure.
That's right. So the next one, and you're going to maybe talk about this one in the same vein, but it's a lower number, and that's Josh Hoover. His is 28.99. So I went higher than that 2008.99.
What was Mendoza's yardage total last year?
It was 3,000-something.
In the regular season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was over 3,000.
Well, you know, again, they're a run-first football team, but they do have two talented, really talented wide receivers. So,
right. And they try to stay balanced.
Yeah.
Even though they talk about running, they do try to have some balance. And they are going to have some good receivers. So,
well, Hoover's talented. You know, again, the dilemma in any of these things is that when you play the overs, you need guys to stay healthy for all 12 regular season games. And when you start combining the overs together, the likelihood of that happening is not great.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other things that go into it. I mean, I think you and I both last year took took Sellers to go over his TD numbers, and it was a low number, and we were laughing about it being so low.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't get it.
Huh? That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's sort of that dilemma. The quarterbacks are subject to their world. Now, the world of both of those guys should be really good.
Right, right. Now, the next one is Gunnar Stockton, higher than 2006-24. He threw for 28.94 last year.
Yeah, I think I'll buy that one. And while he's a guy who puts his body in harm's way, and he's also a guy who's really seemingly almost bulletproof, durable, so I'm buying that one.
Yeah. And this one's right in the same venue as that one. Walt Bear Bachmeier over higher than 25-24, 2,524. He threw for 39.73 last year and was not very good at the beginning of the season throwing the ball, but got steadily better.
I am really
as the season went on.
Yeah, I buy that. I'm really interested in that backfield. I just think not just as Bachmeier as a thrower, but the combination of Bachmeier and Martin as runners. I'm not sure there is another pairing quite like that. In fact, I'm sure there isn't. It's a little bit like Sellers and Rocket Sanders from 2 years ago, where you had a quarterback and a running back that are each 235 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I started to take that running back to go over his total, but he scares me. He's almost as bad as Jim Brown. Every time he runs the ball, he looks like he's about that. They're going to have to carry him out of the game. He gets up off the turf, limping.
What was his number, though?
I don't even know, Walt. I don't remember. I did all of this last Friday.
Yeah, you're right on that, but Martin is a war daddy.
He is, but he looks like he's injured on every play practically. And if he doesn't look like he's injured, he looks like he's mad.
He might be,
something.
But like Brown, he's the guy doing the injury.
Yeah, that's true. The next one, Charlie Becker, higher than 749. Receiving yards.
Yeah, I'd probably buy that. I think I'd buy that.
So, I like that one. Here's the one I think I'm hoping you buy. I'm sticking my neck out on this one because I did last year on Sellers. Nick Harbor higher than 749 receiving yards.
Yes.
He had 618 last year.
Yeah, I think that's a go. Yep. I think that I really like that. I think that Harbor takes another big step. I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Under Browse's offense, I think they're going to utilize him big time.
Yep.
So, also, last two, Turbo Richards, higher than 799 rushing yards.
Well, you know what I think of Turbo Richard, and yep. I've been high on this acquisition all along. I think he's the featured back at Indiana, such that you can have a featured back. There's still going to be a share the wealth backfield that's what Cignetti believes in. But I think that
kind of concerned me. But both those running backs for Indiana both rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. Now, BB got hurt at the beginning of the year, so there wasn't a third back to take rushes. But the last one, Walt, and I'll get off and take your comments off the air on this one. I'm taking Mark Fletcher to go higher than 915 rushing yards regular season. Walt, I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Robert. Yeah, so we're going Miami's running back basically to approach 1,000 and Miami's quarterback to throw for over 3,300. Maybe. Fletcher was unbelievable in the playoff last year. It's going to be interesting to see if he builds on that. He wasn't that dominant in the regular season. But then the playoffs, he rushed like 500 yards. So is he that guy? Is he going to be, 100% the featured back? I mean, I think he is going to be featured. He is the leader of that football team. And that doesn't sound like a lot for as big and powerful as a guy, but they have some depth in that running back room, and that's what would concern me a little bit. Again, Fletcher was dominant in the playoff, but not so much in the regular season. All right, we have lots to get to. You can get in 654-7627. We'll be back.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 45th football season kickoff with Facts on Sport, broadcasting live on Friday, August 21st from 9 to noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology campus at 315 Perriman Dairy Road in Anderson. Facts In will interview the Anderson County High School head football coaches and key players, and you're invited to come experience it live. Then at noon, enjoy the first Touchdown Club meeting.
Oh, but my man Malpress the other day has a huge scrimmage for Clemson, multiple sacks, multiple fumbles caused, and you know this is why I think people know when it comes to analysis, player analysis, talent analysis, this is where you go. If people remember when I interviewed Jason Priester about the recruiting class, etc., I said I singled out a guy as my favorite player of the class. He was not one of the top-ranked players in the class, but he was my favorite player in the class because I just thought it was obvious to me, and people were not talking about this guy at all because of his size, but I thought his explosiveness, his get-off, his want-to, I thought these were all things that made it obvious to me, but it was not apparent to other people, apparently. But we had that conversation, and now people are writing articles about the Malpress performance the other day. So, you know, this is where you always hear it first, and this is certainly where you heard that first. And maybe we'll play you some of that tomorrow. We have lots to get to today. You can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. We're talking about both Clemson and LSU in the matchup there. I was asked by a texter whether this could be Texas's year. This is the year that he said they have a Georgia problem, and he's right. He said, what do you think about Texas this year? They got a Georgia problem. Can they overcome it? I said, I think they will. He said, I don't know if Sark will ever beat Kirby. Kirby's the most stable coach in college football. Well, I mean, he was also sort of lucky in at least one of those games. And trust me, Texas will beat Georgia. Texas has the talent to beat anybody. Whether they do all that, we'll see. But, I mean, it's not like Georgia's going to own Texas forever. They're not. Texas is too much talent, too big a program. Texas said, I mean, why does Kirby lose to Alabama? Now, I know last year, no, but why does he lose to Alabama? To DeBoer, no less. Texas said... That's funny. We'll get to that. Texas 706 says Miami has four running backs they like. They just want to protect his tread some. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the danger there. I mean, look, if you take an 8-player flyer preseason, you need a whole lot of things to go your way. I mean, what do I really think with Roberts? I think he'll be right like 3 or 4 times, and then the rest of it probably not. It's just, it's hard. You know, again, preseason, season-long predictions are hard because you don't get, there's no out for injury. You know, you need everybody you pick to stay healthy for the entire year if you're going over the numbers. That's why, in a way, under the numbers almost better. The over numbers are always tempting. They're lower than you would think they would be, always, on season-long plays. So, yeah, that's the reality of it. I want to know, and I did not say this, Ramon. Texter 934 says, well, it's been 3 days. I'm assuming the Cambridge professor is still dead. This is so wrong. That's so wrong. To my knowledge, he is still dead. Ramona, this Cambridge professor, right?
Yeah.
I had this really funny story that he screwed up by getting killed right before I went on air with it. The day I was going on air with it.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how. I think the assumption is suicide, but I don't know, which is a terrible ending and a terribly sad situation. But this guy, a 37-year-old professor, celebrated by Cambridge as the youngest star professor, the greatest thing ever. It was it just being celebrated university-wise, interviews, talking about what a research genius he is and this and that. The only problem was it's all lies. It was all lies. It was
he started the rumors or something?
Everything about him was a lie. Every single thing from his infancy all the way to 37, it was all a lie.
Oh no.
He was the great pretender. He lied about everything. He said that he was nonverbal until 12 years old. Kids in his class said he was the chattiest kid in school. He said that he did not learn to read and write until 18. All false. He said that he had raised $5 million for charity. All false. He said that he ran 20 marathons in 25 days. False. He said that he played pro soccer. False. He said that he ran 600 miles in 2 or 3 days. False.
Nothing was true.
Nothing was true. Not his academic background. Nothing was true. Absolutely. He lied about absolutely everything. It was a list of like 20 different things that he lied about. Just those are the ones that we knew of.
That you know about. Yep. Yes. And then what happened? He died?
Yeah. The belief is he committed suicide.
This came out.
Yeah, he got outed. He
couldn't handle it.
Right. He got outed. He couldn't handle it. And really, you know, in a way, I know you're not your brother's keeper, but in a way, Cambridge is sort of responsible for this, too, because they didn't vet him at all.
Yeah, it sounds like they didn't.
Right. I mean, not at all.
Did anybody teach there? I mean, they didn't seem like they were.
Well, it started with a plagiarism complaint. A guy who I think was sort of didn't like him for whatever reason, had proof that he had that he was a plagiarist. And that's
everything
when
else.
That's when it started. Yeah, and then he stepped down, and that's when all the rest of this started to get investigated. After the plagiarism story, suddenly all the rest of this was investigated, and he had all these different. And I'm right now. I'm probably forgetting like 10 of them. But yeah. Texas John Liberty said, I'm not sure why it's a surprise the Cambridge professor lied. Dude looked like he was a member of Milli Vanilli. He did. Like a little older member of Milli Vanilli. Yeah, so So it all went terribly wrong for Cambridge and obviously for him. And I don't know if there's been any, I haven't seen any additional information on that yet. So I don't know if they've made any determination on the cause of death, but I'm sure that that's what they consider. They consider that it's probably suicide. And again, when he started to be outed for all of these various things. I mean, some of which on the surface were just so patently ridiculous.
Yeah.
The
stuff about his childhood.
Oh, the running 20 marathons in 25 days.
Yeah, I mean, that's just impossible.
Right, not possible. Not the greatest conditioned athlete in the world. Not possible. It just can't be done. And, you know, so he actually claimed these ridiculous things that, you know, that and some of them were, he claimed he went in a coma for multiple years. And then he came out of the coma.
Came out.
There's no medical records of any of it.
He just went crazy telling things.
Well, again, you know, he was a pathological liar, obviously, but he was getting away with all of it because no one ever vetted any of it, you know? And
I mean, yeah. How do you back all that up?
Tex said, it's sad he committed suicide. In this day and age, he could have owned it on social media and leaned into creating crazy stories about himself. I bet he could have turned it into a comedy. No, you're 100% right, Jeff. He could have. I mean, that would have been the ultimate answer to say, look, I was just trying to see what I could get away with. You know,
yeah,
I was testing
yeah.
all these idiots to see what they would let me get away with. So I kept making up bigger and bigger stories to see how far up the ladder I could climb. You could have easily done that. In other words, you could have easily told another lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could have told the ultimate lie about the whole thing, but somehow.
About why he did it.
Somehow that didn't occur to him, you know, which is amazing considering all the others. Terry said, well, it's not his fault. He ran 20 marathons. He was in a coma. It's true. It's true. And by the way, there's a scandal in Little League. But there's another scandal in Little League. The Iowa Little League entry is being accused of cheating.
In what way?
Stealing signs, like they used at Astros. They're accusing the Iowa Little League team of stealing signs.
It's Little League.
I know. It's exactly. It's Little League. Listen, I'm sorry. If you imbeciles who are coaching Little Leaguers are coaching them and having them involved in stealing signs, you need to step down right away. You know, I don't know every detail of this because I don't know how you could know every detail. But when I first heard it, I was like, what? Now we're getting accusations of cheating in Little League? I mean, other than having ringers. I mean, the ringers thing has been a long-term thing. But now we're talking about Houston Astros. I don't know. Do we get a guy hitting the garbage can each time? I have no idea, man.
Maybe that's where they got it.
Yeah. I'm sure they did. They said, well, you sure that guy wasn't John Lovitz dating Morgan Fairchild? That's from Kevin and Greenville. Right. Right. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Oh, the liar guy.
Yeah, the liar guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's the ticket.
That's bad. You think we don't know if he committed suicide or not, or do we?
I think it's fairly certain that
Maybe he
did.
He stepped down.
As soon as the plagiarism thing hit, he stepped down.
He did.
He stepped down from the job. And then, yeah. Tech said a runner on second was stealing signs from the catcher because the catcher was not hiding them. Plus, they were going with normal hand signs. Well, that would be fairly normal baseball, but who knows? I mean, you know, stealing signs has always been a part of baseball like that. So I don't know. I don't know the extent of it. I'm not sure. Tech said, did he date Manti Te'o's girlfriend? I'm sure he did.
Oh, man. That's an old reference.
But I'm sure he did. I'm sure he dated Manti Te'o's girlfriend. Who didn't, you know? Except for Manti Te'o. Everybody dated Manti Te'o's girlfriend except for Manti Te'o. Man, there have been some friggin' strange stories in sports over the years. There's no question about that. Just absolute craziness. All right. Back to LSU and Clemson. You can get in if you want. 654-767. 654-767. So the closer we get, the more it looks like Barry is going to be their starting running back, and Dylan Jones will be the backup running back. He'll be the physical between the tackle guy. Barry will be the more versatile guy. It looks to me like, and by the way, Watkins still dealing with some sort of injury for them. I don't think it's going to keep him out long, but what's his status for game one? I don't know. It looks to me like Jace Brown is going to be their number one receiver. He's the Kansas State transfer. He is a deep threat. He's like 6'4". He has real long speed, not the fake long speed that LSU claimed all the receivers had last year. So he's a guy to watch. He'd be the guy I would be worried about. He'd be the field stretcher. He'd be the guy who can take the top off. He'd be the guy who can hit you with a big play. And this game could be decided by one big play. I mean, I think that's conceivable either way. All right, we have lots to get to. We're still talking about this. You can get in 654-7627.
The countdown is on. It's on. 19 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Ball rests just inside the left hash. Takes a snap, back to throw. Going to throw, and it's incomplete. And tip caught. Picked off Hanifin. Hanifin crosses the 35, gets across the 30, and is wrangled down at the 28.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
You know, I've been looking at the matchup with the game coming up, LSU-Clemson, and, you know, there's a lot of question marks, naturally, especially on the first game of the season, and especially this matchup. And the, you know, I look at matchups, and the one that does concern me is the unknown at linebacker other than Sammy Brown, and trying to somehow contain the monster tight end that LSU has, Green. Yep. And, you know, last year, I know a lot of guys are gone, but it seemed to be just really, really hard to get any kind of pressure, even sometimes with blitzing. And I'm just really concerned that if it's the same pattern, if there's no consistent pressure, not even just sacks, just disrupting the quarterback.
You're going to affect the quarterback.
Yeah, and just getting them off the ball and making them, you know, putting them in bad decision-making. And also, you know, I think it's imperative that Allen schematically mixes up coverages to kind of offset that with the linebacker, I guess, deficiency, because we don't really know what we got. I just kind of wanted to get your thought on that matchup.
Yeah, look, I think that's a good point. I mean, Green is a freak. He's 6'7". He has long arms. He has the speed to get vertical. He's a problem. I mean, he's going to be a problem for everybody LSU plays as long as they utilize him. Now, I think he's been a little banged up too, but he's not. He's expected to play. He should be fine for the game. So there's not going to be any break there for Clemson in that regard. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think pressure on the opposing quarterback, affecting the quarterback, is going to be big. Levitt is, if Levitt's 100% right, he's a tough guy to affect because he has superhuman movement ability, the ability to extend plays if he's 100% healthy. And they're sort of saying he's doing everything that that he would do from a movement standpoint, but he's still not taking any hits at all. And we'll see how reluctant or how willing he is to engage once we get to game day. I mean, you know, he had screws taken out of that foot in the spring, and he didn't participate in the spring. Liz Frank injury is a really serious injury. It's a midfoot injury. Yep. It's really a serious deal. So we'll see what he is. We don't know that answer, but, you know, assuming he's whole, I do think not only affecting him but containing him at the same time, you know, not letting him get outside the pocket. I think that's going to be important because that's probably when he's at his best. I'm not as afraid of him standing in the pocket and throwing the ball if you can render him a pure pocket passer. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be up to, you know, Lawson and Held and the depth beyond that, which I think Clemson has at defensive end this year. I personally think Lawson is going to lead this team in sacks, and I think that needs to happen. I think Held will get his 7 or 8, but I think Clemson needs Lawson to step up and be a guy that produces 9-10 sacks and have that type of impact, because I think he's capable of that. And then I think Sammy Brown is going to be more involved in this as well. I think, you know, Brown, I think, had 5 sacks last year. I'd expect that number to go up. I think he's such a good athlete. I think he can impact in that way too. So maybe 7-8, I'm hoping for Sammy in terms of being disruptive and affecting the opposing quarterback. But, yeah, all those things have to happen. And then remember, Trey, I think both teams are going to come into this with the mind's eye and run the football some. So, you know, it's not just going to be the linebacker play. It's going to be the defensive tackle play for Clemson that is going to have to be there. And that's still a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to get a good push up front and at least fill gaps and to free up for the linebackers to make plays in the run game as well.
Well, and again, if you don't get any pressure internally, then it's hard to pressure a quarterback. Quarterbacks are trained mm-hmm. what to do against pressure off the edge. They're trained to step up in the pocket. And they can do that if they're not feeling any internal pressure. So that'll be up to the defensive tackles. And I think it's time for Adams to show his ability. If he's healthy, it's time for him to showcase his ability.
Yes, I agree.
Yep, thank you, Trey. It's a good job. Yep, thank you. And from an LSU standpoint, you know, again, I'm looking at their depth chart right now. This is actually an Our Lads depth chart. It's not anything that's fresh from LSU. And it has Deuce Geralds listed as a 1 at defensive tackle and as Blockton listed. But it's my understanding that Geralds and Anderson are both running with the 1s. They're both freshmen. But, again, I would not read too much into that from a negative standpoint, because I think Geralds is a dude. I just think he's special. So I don't think that's an advantage Clemson there. But you know, if they're actually going to start two freshman defensive tackles, can that be a bit of an issue? I don't know, maybe. But again, if those two guys were both good enough to beat out Green, who Clemson people thought a lot of last year in terms of how he played here before he transferred to LSU, if those two guys are good enough to beat out Green, then they're pretty good players. So I don't know that there's any advantage to be garnered there. I will say this. One area that I think LSU maybe does have an advantage, this depends on the rest of Clemson's linebacking core that are not named Sammy Brown. But I think with Weeks and Daugherty and with Keys, who Keys developed into a star for them last year. And, you know, again, you've got that star position, but some combination of Weeks, Daugherty, and Keys, that group is pretty good as a whole. Those are all good football players. All three of those guys are good football players. In the secondary, you have Woodland and Pickett at cornerback. They have had an injury to this cornerback situation. I think the depth at cornerback is questioned. Woodland is not the biggest dude in the world, but he's really competitive. What do they list him at? Let me just see. They list him at 5'11". There's no way that dude's 5'11". But Woodland and Pickett are both pretty good players. But beyond that, the depth is a bit of a question. From a secondary standpoint, they are listing Ty Benefield and Tamarcus Cooley as their starting safeties on this depth chart. But it's my understanding that Jace Thomas, the redshirt freshman, has beaten out Cooley for that strong safety spot. Now, I'm sure that, you know, Cooley's going to play. He was a year-long starter last year. Jace Thomas did not play, partly played last year. But it looks like, as of today, this depth chart has some issues with it. The contrary to what this depth chart says, their actual starting safeties look like they're going to be Jace Thomas, the redshirt freshman, who seems to have beaten out last year's incumbent starter, Tamarcus Cooley, and Ty Benefield will be your free safety. So that's your defensive scouting report on LSU. I think one of the really interesting things is going to be how LSU utilizes Princewell Umamielen and where they line him up. I think it's going to be a fascinating element of this game. Is he just going to be set at one spot, or are they going to move him around, maybe try and keep him away from Jacobs? I don't know. Again, we need to see what Jacobs looks like. He has all the talent in the world, but how's that going to look in game one against an elite pass rusher as Umamielen is? You know, a guy who has speed and converts speed into power. He's talented. He's a double-digit sack-type guy, and it's going to be very important that Clemson gets him blocked. But at the same time, you know, again, look, one thing is clear, okay? The Tigers are not going to go into this game with the same approach they had last year. We all know Cade Klubnik did not play well, all right? But he wasn't alone, okay? And at times he was alone in that he didn't have much help in that from the offensive coordinator in the lack of commitment to run the football. And Baker unleashed the dogs on Clemson. He blitzed from everywhere, and he really caused Cade Klubnik nightmares. Well, Clemson's not going to go into this with anything similar in terms of game plan. I think you're going to see a much brighter, smarter game plan that is going to feature more of a commitment to running the football and trying to stay out of those situations where they can let Baker impose his will on the game as he did a year ago. So I would expect that. We've already talked about Jeb Morris's tendencies. We'll talk a bit more about those and maybe what breaking those tendencies means. All right, lots to get to. You can get in. Waltip to the Road Rage. We will be right back after this message.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
At Lake Huey Ford and Lake Huey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate, you get the dealer discount, you get every available discount, military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Huey guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeHueyAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
It's true. Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing to everyone, meaning you get every discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at both dealerships, they're having a summer clearance sale. Save up to $15,000 on new F-150s and Ram 1500s. Heavy-duty trucks are discounted too. Buy now and get zero payments for 90 days. Plus, attractive financing is available. So hurry to Lake Kiwi. They're between Seneca and Clemson and always open. Open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
Strike up the band because it's time for college football.
Over the middle.
105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
Tiger fans, crawl space and basement issues are not a DIY project. You need trained, licensed pros who know what your home truly needs and are qualified to do the work. At Crawlspace Medic, our Clemson alum team delivers honest assessments, clear communication, and long-lasting repairs. From moisture and mold to structural issues, we fix the real problem without upselling our fellow Tigers. Keep your home and the air you breathe safe. Call Crawlspace Medic and schedule your free inspection today.
On the shores of Lake Kiwi, welcome to Falls Park at Kiwi. With lots averaging about 2 acres, Falls Park at Kiwi offers legacy lots starting in the low 100s and heritage lots starting in the low 250s. With access to dock slips and the boat landing, your next home will be amid mature hardwoods, some with mountain or waterfall views. Interested buyers can place a fully refundable deposit and find out more at fallsparkatkiwi.com. Come home to Falls Park at Kiwi today.
Jumpstart another great season of college football at Reuben's, showcasing all the big games every week with live music at both locations. Great beverage selections and the famous wings and other delicious menu selections only Reuben's is known for. All the games, surround sound, and tailgate menu available. Game day specials every football Saturday at Reuben's on the Parkway in Greenville and Highway 81 in Powdersville. Reuben's, football all season long. Reuben's, good times gather here.
Planning your next getaway? We've got good news. Breeze Airways now has nonstop flights to 10 destinations from GSP International Airport, including 3 new cities, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Enjoy Breeze's low fares, flexible and friendly change policies, and convenient nonstop service. Book your next trip from GSP International Airport today at flybreeze.com. That's flybreeze.com.
In the commercial and industrial world, LA Heating and Air knows a reliable HVAC system is more than just a luxury. It is a critical investment in your productivity, safety, and operational budget. Whether you own a retail store, a manufacturing facility, or anything in between, we offer transparent pricing, data-driven performance, and are committed to being a true partner in your company's success. Visit LAHVAC.com today to schedule a free on-site assessment and optimize your business's HVAC efficiency today.
Attention service professionals, stop driving invisible. Whether you're a plumber, HVAC business, electrician, landscaper, or other mobile business, your vehicle is your best form of advertisement. At Catazoom,